Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When Babe Ruth pointed to center field, he knew where that ball was going. And Christians can know where they're going after death. That's because our assurance of salvation is built on three pillars in the Scriptures. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we're in Romans chapter 8 in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. We can rest unafraid, knowing that in the end, we are held in God's hands.
Now follow this. Here are five beautiful links in a golden chain. The first link begins in eternity past, those whom he foreknew and those whom he predestined. And then you have the word called, which has to do with our present experience. And now we have been justified, and in God's sight we have been glorified. It goes from one spectrum of eternity to the other. And follow carefully. The very same ones whom he foreknew are the ones whom he glorified. I don't believe that there is any slippage. I don't believe that anyone is falling through the cracks. I don't think that God's purposes are frustrated because of our sins. And, may I say it, though I'm going to receive letters about it, even because of our backslidings, grievous though that may be to God, God's purposes will be fulfilled. And he will take those whom he foreknew all the way to glory. And God says, you are already there. What is the first pillar upon which our security rests? It is the plan of God. I hope that during this series of messages on salvation, you become absolutely convinced to the depths of your soul and spirit that salvation not only represents God at his best, but that salvation is a mighty work of a great and wonderful God. It rests on the plan of God. Secondly, notice that salvation rests on the pardon of God. That is the second pillar that goes down to bedrock. He says in verse 31, which is somewhat of a transitional verse, "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Do we have any takers? Is there anybody who's going to come against those whom God has decided to align himself up with?" What a challenge. And of course, the answer is, if God is for us, who is against us? What shall we say to these things? Well, all that we can do is comment on them with breathless wonder. That's about all we can say. If God is for us, who is against us? And he says in verse 32, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not also with him freely give us all things?" If God has given to us the best that he has, will not all of the secondary blessings simply be thrown in for good measure? If someone gives you a beautiful diamond, will they not also give you the box in which it came? Or will they say, "I give you the diamond, but you can't have the box too"? Unthinkable. They go together. And the diamond is more valuable than the box. If a woman is willing to give up her precious son in adoption, will she not also give the new parents the crib in which he has slept? God, who spared not his own son, his precious son, whom he so greatly loved, will he not also with him give us all things? The answer is yes. But now we're talking about the pardon of God. And Paul visualizes a courtroom, and I want you to visualize it with me. There is, of course, the judge, who is God. There is the defendant, the one who is being accused, and he's sitting over here. No intention to point deliberately at you, Chris, but he's sitting over here. And then over here, there is the accuser, the prosecuting attorney. The gavel sounds, and the courtroom is open for debate. The devil takes out his briefcase because it is filled with the sins that we have committed. And he reminds us that he does not only have a briefcase, but immediately outside the door, there is a U-Haul trailer filled with all kinds of material that will prove us to be sinners. And so the debate begins. And his accusations are not general. He does not say, now, this person here is a great sinner. Oh, no, that would never do. He gets very specific. Because you see, the devil knows all the hidden sins that you and I, if they were exposed, would be overcome with shame. The devil knows those things. And furthermore, God knows them. God knows them. And so the accusations begin, and they are very specific, and they are very detailed, and they are very shameful, and they are very, very ugly. What can the defendant do? What does he do? Well, notice the text. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Some people don't like that word, but Paul evidently did. I just don't know why he had this love with that word. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ is the one who died, yea, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God the Father, and he intercedes for us. How shall we, as the accused, handle these accusations? Shall we say, no, they aren't true? That, of course, is not even an option in this court. It may be in a Chicago courtroom. It may work for some alderman. It may work for some members of Congress, but it doesn't work in the presence of God. The issue here is not truth. The issue is justice. Well, then we can begin to minimize our sins and say, God, if you only understood, don't you realize I'm better than other people? Don't you realize I did try to serve you? Don't you remember I walked forward in a meeting? God, I did pray once. Don't you remember during the war? Lord, what will I do? No. Satan has marched in, and he's winning the court case. If the defendant is wise, he will do the only thing that is wise to do, and that is to punt the ball to the defending attorney and say, Jesus, I can't handle this. You handle it for me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again and is even at the right hand of God the Father, reminding God the Father that salvation was purchased, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, and that Jesus died for some messy and very ugly sins, and God the Father accepted the payment. Justice has been satisfied, and the defendant is acquitted, and he can go free. 5 bleeding wounds he bears received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry. And let not that ransomed sinner die. This past week, a man called me on the telephone, asked my advice regarding counseling a woman who had an affair. Christian woman, now suddenly in the slough of despond and despair and depression. Not all depression is because of sin and guilt, but a lot is. How do we as Christians handle it? I do not merely mean handle the outworking of reconciliation with her husband that is going to be very painful under any conditions. I'm talking about how do we handle it theologically so that this woman can look into God's face again and be cleansed and be redeemed. You see, on one level, as a Christian, she is as pure as Christ, clothed in his righteousness, even though a sinner. And she needs to see that. If she does not see that, she will be driven into despair. On another level, she must also see that in experience, she has sinned grievously, and she must ask forgiveness, not that she might again receive the holiness of God, which she now has as a free gift already, but that she might be reconciled to the Father, whom she has wounded so deeply through her sins. You see, there is the objective, there's also the subjective cleansing, and the cleansing has to do with the purging of the conscience so that she not only is pure before God, but that she knows she is. She must be given hope to understand that no matter what the accusations are, if she looks to her defending attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the God of the universe, has pronounced her clean. Now, who is it that shall declare her guilty if God has spoken? Oh, I know. She's in for some hard times in reconciliation with her husband because those sins run deep. But she needs to know that she is cleansed, washed, accepted. Who is he that condemns? Christ died, and God accepted that death as a sacrifice for sinners. And by the way, those of you who are troubled and hassled by a past that will not leave you, what you must sometimes do is to memorize these passages of Scripture and maybe even quote them out loud to the enemy of your souls who wants to keep you dragged down in guilt. And you must say to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God has justified me. Who is he that condemneth? Christ died." And you look to the redeeming Savior for your acceptance and for your forgiveness.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I certainly don't want to minimize sin. Sin is terrible. Sin has ongoing consequences. Even forgiven sin has ongoing consequences. But thank God for grace and forgiveness. I've written a book entitled, How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God. And I deal with many issues regarding doubt, regarding what is the path of salvation. How is it that so many people get it wrong? I think that this book will be a great blessing to you as well as to someone to whom you give it. We're making it available for a gift of any amount. And may I say from my heart to yours, thank you so much for helping us. You've heard me say it before, but Running to Win goes around the world because of people just like you. And we want to offer you resources that will help you in your journey.
Believers in Christ have a solid hope. No matter what happens in this life, there's another life waiting for them, a life of eternal joy. Next time, more thoughts on the assurance you can have since you are held in God's hands. How you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. What can be more important? Pastor Lutzer has written a book by that title, and it can be yours as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.